You know, we're always in this pursuit of defining ourselves. Satan wants to define us. This will be a big topic about in many really future sermons and classes that we have, just exactly what is supposed to be my definition. Who am I? And we can look at that from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapters 2 and 3, chapter 1 also. And we can, of course, learn many things that God has said about who I am. You know, what am I all about? But there's one aspect of my being that I know that I'm all about, what you are all about, and that is I'm a kingdom person. And this is who I am. I'm a kingdom being. I am kingdom people. I follow the King. And you know, self-identity is very important because it is from there that our decisions come. Once we see ourselves a certain light, the light of following Jesus and the light of following the King, we start to define ourselves from that standpoint, and we start to then follow out what we know that we are. And I kind of like to think about that today and really camp a little bit more on the idea of the kingdom. God has set up a kingdom. Visit some of the passages that you and I know, and then come back to the idea that we need to be truly kingdom people. What a blessing it is that God has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We just read that. He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. God has made it possible for us to be a part of His kingdom. You know how huge that is? There's nothing in this life to compare it to. There is nothing high profile that you can be a part of, nothing that you can hope to be a part of in this life that at all compares to the idea that God has brought you into His kingdom. And that God, that Jesus Christ, is your King. Let's think about some of these things for a little bit this morning as we think about the idea of being kingdom people. We know that we have been blessed highly, haven't we? Is it possible that the ruler of all of mankind, the ruler of all the beings of existence, has had a desire to share His rule with us who dwell on the face of the earth? To share with us as a bunch of sinners, so beneath Him, so far away from Him. Is it possible? You and I are so blessed to live in this existence, to have the kingdom of God. Psalm 103, verse 19, the Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. This is who God is. He's the ruler of all, over all. He has had His kingdom as long as He has had rule, as long as He has had subjects and those that live around Him. He has had this kingdom. And we see this kingdom talked about in various passages. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, Psalm 145 and verse 13. And your dominion endures throughout all generations, the psalmist says. I recognize your kingdom, the psalmist says. How full of grandeur and how majestic it truly is. But in Daniel 2:44, you remember this prophecy. And you remember that there was this great vision of gold and silver and bronze and iron and clay. Do you remember that? And how these represented nations. And in following out the nations of Babylon and the Medo-Persian Empire and Greece and then into the Roman Empire, God then was going to set up His kingdom. He's going to bring His rule to earth. And He was going to offer His rule to you and me. And so we have this prophecy that in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to another people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That was a matter of prophecy. God set up His kingdom in the days of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was a great kingdom, wasn't it? What happened to the Roman Empire? The Roman Empire is long gone. But God said, I will set up my kingdom. I will bring it down to earth to interface with men into the hearts of men during this empire. The Roman Empire is gone, but the kingdom of God is still here in the hearts of men. It's a conquering kingdom. It's a durable kingdom. If it was prophesied by God, He would share this kingdom, His rule, with us. Jesus, of course, understood the coming of this kingdom. He came to bring the kingdom to mankind. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, in Jesus' preaching, He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is what? Is at hand. What does that mean? It is on its way. God is bringing His kingdom to mankind. So it was in the life of Jesus, it was in the preaching of Jesus. Jesus Christ came to bring this kingdom to humanity. And we continue on, we could look at more passages, but in Matthew 12, verse 28, Jesus, in casting out demons, said this, "If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." This is all meaning something. He's saying there's a sign here. If I'm doing these great things, here's the significance. The kingdom of God is on its way according to prophecy. And that's exactly what was taking place. We also see in Mark 9, verse 1, "Assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God present with power." Was this kingdom coming? Was Jesus about to do everything to bring this kingdom to mankind so that man could be in the kingdom of God? Yes, it's around the corner. He says, some of you will still be alive when this kingdom comes. Acts 2 and verse 30, of course, Jesus has now died. He's been raised. And we have Peter in the first sermon, Acts 2, that we know is the first sermon, where he is now presenting this kingdom and the king as in a, it's a past tense now sort of situation. And he says, "Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne." He talked about a Psalm of David, talking about the idea that Jesus would be raised up to sit on his throne. And what's the idea? What is Jesus if he's sitting on his throne? He's the king, isn't he? What has been established if Jesus goes up to sit on his throne? He has established his kingdom. What was being preached on that day? In Acts, the second chapter, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ was being preached. The kingship of Jesus Christ was being preached. And on that day, some would switch their allegiance from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. And they would become followers of Jesus Christ. Later on, verse 36, "Therefore let the house of Israel know assuredly," Peter says, "that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Christ," we'll say that one first. They were looking forward to a Christ coming, the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah, but notice what he says. God has made him Lord. He's done all things to continue this process, now come into your hearts as Lord, bringing you to himself. As Lord, there is rule, there is kingdom. He is your Lord. And so it is in verse 38, "Peter said unto them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." There's the entrance into the kingdom, right? Be baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which in one sense is the entrance into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. This is all prophecy. It's the unfolding of the kingdom of God, the unfolding of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. When Paul said in Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14, that we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, he understood these things. The God of all, through his prophecy, had brought about the realities of his kingdom down to the hearts of men so that men could respond and come into his kingdom. And that's what you and I are a part of. Do we get that? Who are you? Let's start getting there. Who are you? You are kingdom people, aren't you? You're not Americans. I could say I'm not an American. You live in America, aren't you? You're a citizen. Yes. Don't you have some allegiances to America? Well, yes. Now think about it from the standpoint of being a Christian. Are you an American? No, I'm not an American. I'm a member of the kingdom of God. That's the only thing that matters. And that's who I am. That's the big thing in my life. I am in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter how old you are if you're a Christian. Maybe you're a 13-year-old Christian. You know who you are? You are a kingdom person. You're kingdom people. You know what defines you? You know, if you're a 13-year-old girl and you're starting to enjoy, you know, you're putting on makeup and stuff like that, you know, you might start defining yourself kind of like that. Don't forget your big definition. You know who I am? I'm a kingdom person. I'm in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Soccer is not going to define me. Playing baseball won't define me. Football doesn't define me. Racing cars doesn't define me. Hard work in this world does not define me. Career doesn't define me. I am kingdom people. I am a person. I'm a being of the kingdom of God, and that's who I am, and it's the only thing that matters. Let's see, I guess I could hear an amen right there. Is it the only thing that matters? It's the only thing that matters. What a privilege we have, of course, to be kingdom people. It's an eternal kingdom. We saw in Daniel 2:44 that it's durable. It would crush all these other kingdoms. Roman Empire, where is it? You know, long, long gone. Kingdom of God, where is it? It's right here, isn't it? Kingdom of God is right here. It's an eternal kingdom. You know what? It's never going to stop. Geographies might change. We're going to be translated, of course, from this existence to another existence, but we're still in the kingdom of God, aren't we? We live under the rule of our God, whether we live here on the face of this earth or we go to live with Him in heaven. That's to live in the kingdom of God, isn't it? Okay? God has given us an everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came, He was going to bring a kingdom where there would be no end to it. It would be a durable, eternal kingdom that would never come to an end. Isaiah 9, one of these beautiful prophecies of Jesus Christ, when He came, it says, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over His kingdom. And that, of course, is all in Jesus Christ, who would come and to be our King. Right? Correct? So here is this eternal kingdom. What do I get to be a part of? An eternal kingdom. Everything here, everything you're doing in this life comes to an end, doesn't it? I was talking with Todd a while ago about playing mandolin. I used to think I was a pretty good mandolin player, you know, intermediate, pretty good mandolin player. But you know, the day came, it kind of just isn't there anymore. I used to think I was an athlete, and the key word is I used to think I was an athlete. But you know, those days came to an end. I don't run fast anymore. And you know, you find all you have to do is stick around. Maybe you're 15 or 16, you know, all you have to do is stick around, and these things, you kind of leave these things behind. None of these things are durable. But you know what you have in the kingdom of God? An eternal kingdom that will never, never, ever go away. Who wants to be a part of that? That's what I want. Truly, nothing else matters. That's why, oh, you're an American, you're a Nicaraguan, it doesn't matter. You're a Canadian. Okay, well, that's good. Enjoy your meal for a little while because the meal's going to be gone. Who am I? I'm kingdom people. I'm going to live forever in the kingdom of my God. And that's who I am. How beautiful. What a privilege. And how blessed as I think about that blessing. We read this passage last week. But I so want you to know this passage well because it's what your hope is all about. God is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He has loved us. When we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. What is that, by the way? Where are we? If we're sitting with Jesus at the throne of God, what are we in? We're in His kingdom, aren't we? This is kingdom talk right here. We are with our King. We are under the rule of our Lord Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now, I expanded on that a little bit last week, so I won't do it again. But do we get, you know, just how blessed we are? I get to have this kingdom. God offers me His kingdom. I get to live in relationship with God, with Jesus as my King, and I get to do that forever. And I'm not going to just find some little, you know, nook and cranny in the kingdom somewhere. I'm not going to find a little cabin on the South 40 back there. I'm going to live in God, in the King, in the grace of the King's great love and goodness and mercy. The King is going to be a part of my life. Unlike anybody in this world has ever known, as far as what their relationship to a king or a president or something like that was. I'm going to be in my King's life, and He's going to be in my life. I'm looking forward to that. There's the state of blessedness. You see, we're kingdom people, and this is what it's all about, right? That's why we need to stay passionate and excited about our Christianity. Don't let our focus get off over here in the world. Don't get your mind off all the junk in the world and all the things that the devil would love you to love in this world. We need to keep our minds on the kingdom and who we are. I am a kingdom being. I am a kingdom person. But you know, there's a great blessing right now of being in the kingdom, right? It's not just I will live someday with God. But Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom... By the way, if you look up kingdom in the New Testament, you'll find it's used many, perhaps many more times than you might realize. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's what? Righteousness, peace, and joy, and Holy Spirit. You stop and think, you know, what do I have in this life as I am a kingdom being? You know what? I have peace. Does anybody here know someone in the world that doesn't have peace? We all kind of struggle with that anyway, don't we? Or joy? Do you know anyone that does not have joy? You sure do, don't you? That's the world, right? The world does not really have joy. It has busyness with any kind of pursuit of life, but there's not really anything fulfilling in that. They don't have real joy. What he says in the kingdom is, look, you have joy. I know who I am. I know who I'm serving. I know what my identity is. I know what my purpose is. I know where I am, what I am, who I am. And you know, it is good. I'm right with my God. And you know what? I could die right now. Don't want to leave my family. But I could die right now, and it's okay. Fear death? Here's the great joy of being in the kingdom of heaven. I don't even have to fear death. There's nothing that has to take away my joy. Not even death itself. Looking to die. Not even death has to take away my joy. It's a joy that is founded in the greatness of Jesus, founded in being in His kingdom. And this is what life is right here, right? Here's the blessedness of the kingdom now. I get to live forever with my God. But He also trains me in how to think about life's difficulties, what to focus upon, wherein I can have truly a great joy and peace in this life. And then, darn, go be with God. Life is good, isn't it? Life is good. How blessed we truly are. What a privilege. But the greatest privilege of all is to know, as I look at this kingdom, I serve the greatest King there is. And I'm proud of my King. There is no one like my King. Who would we compare this King to? What political leader of the past would we compare the King, Jesus Christ, to? Who is like Jesus? I don't know if you've come into like with the book of Revelation yet. Someday, Lord willing, will you have studied through, but I hope that you already have come to like this book and like that strong message that is given. One of the strong messages of Revelation is who Jesus Christ is. One of the strong messages of Revelation is He's the great Lamb. He is the living, killed Lamb, if you will, who is also the King. In Revelation 19, feel the power of this. Revelation 19, we have this scene where there's this contrast between the enemies of God and Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ in contrast to all these enemies who would rise up against God? I saw the heaven open and behold a white horse. Get the vision in your mind. He who sat on him was called faithful and true. Someone's on a white horse, and the person's name is Faithful and True. These are characters, qualities of the one that's on him. And in righteousness, he judges and makes wars. His eyes were like a flame of fire in his head. On his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. Is there any doubt who this is? The robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word, John 1, 1 through 4, of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses, because he's the leader. He's the king. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron, and he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And on his name, or on his robe, and on his thigh, a name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know about you, but every time I read that, I just kind of feel chills about the greatness of who Jesus Christ is. I get to serve Jesus Christ. I get to let Jesus be my king. And who is he? Let every other ruler in the universe shudder. May he get down on his knees, fall on his face before the true king of all, Jesus Christ. I get to serve my king. What a privilege. Now, I hope by now we're realizing who we are. We're kingdom people. And I hope that we can always make a clear distinction between the other kingdom of this world, because there are two kingdoms in the world. And you know what? Today you are in one of those kingdoms. I'm looking out over an audience wherein I hope everybody here is in the kingdom of Christ, but maybe you know your heart. If you're not living in the kingdom, you know where you're living? You're living in the kingdom of Satan. That's your option. Matthew 12:26. If Satan, Jesus says, casts out Satan, how is he divided against himself? Then how will his kingdom stand? He has a huge kingdom, by the way, right? It is huge. How many people of the world are in his kingdom? The great population of the world is the kingdom of Satan. But the question is, what about your life? Who are you? You see, your identity is you are truly a kingdom person. Kingdom of Christ person, or you are satanic. And we can really fool ourselves with this, right? We can work deceptions here. We don't want to do that. Who am I? We have to be real and not deceive ourselves. Now, what do we need to be then? Looking at our great blessing, the kingdom that God has brought to us, the king that we serve, the state of blessedness that we have, we need to make sure that we are kingdom people. Let's just run through some things very quickly here. If I'm a kingdom person, am I not going to live like my king? Colossians 3, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Get your mind up where Jesus is. He's on the throne of God as king. Get your mind there. We need to be living like the king. Our purity, our holiness needs to be like our Savior. Know this, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. It doesn't happen. We're seeking to be like our King, aren't we? Luke 9, verse 62, Jesus said it very clearly, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You don't come to Jesus and then just quibble in the old life, right? We come to Jesus to be like our King and to live for our King. And that needs to be who we are. We also need to be the kingdom army. Because we're more than an audience. We truly are an army of God. Do you see yourself as a soldier? Philippians 2:25. I considered it necessary, Paul said, to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier. Some of the people that work with me are fellow soldiers, Paul says. They're people who understand the relationship with the king. and they're doing the work of soldiering. What does that mean? They're going to battle against evil, right? They're standing up in loyalty with their king and in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's what you and I need to be doing. This is who we are, right? This is supposed to be our definition. I am a soldier of Jesus Christ. Am I carrying out this mentality in my own head? A soldier is not usually one who just acquiesces, you know, into the ductwork. He's not one that tries to hide. The soldier goes out and he boldly does his duty, whatever that is. We're soldiers of Christ, and this is who we are. Epaphroditus, Archippus, here is our fellow soldier. I need to define myself as being in the army of God. I need to be a tool out here doing for God. It's who I am, right? Our lives must be filled with the doing of the things of our King, because it's who we are. And that, of course, includes, and you know, how strong we want to make this message as we work together here at Hickman Mills. In Acts 8 chapter, Philip went and he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. He wanted to share that kingdom, didn't he? Acts 19, there's the preaching, the persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Acts 20, verse 25, Paul says, I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, kingdom of God. This is the message. Acts 28, the testifying of the kingdom of God as Paul is in Roman imprisonment, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? We're soldiers, aren't we? Who am I? I am a kingdom person. I'm a kingdom being. I'm a subject of the kingdom. That is who I am. My king is Jesus Christ. Where will that take my life? It has to take me somewhere. And it has to take me in the direction of doing what he wants me to do if he's going to be my king. Right? Now, is this just Denny? No, is this, you know, just for an elder? Is this the deacons, you know, they arise to this maybe? Who's this for? If you're 14 years old, this is your sermon today, okay? If you're 10 years old, this is your sermon today. If you are 50 years old, it's your sermon. If you're 88 years old, it's your sermon, huh? It doesn't matter who you are, this is who we are. It's who we're supposed to be. Here's our definition. So here's the encouragement that we need to redefine who we are. We need to go forward in this definition, receiving this to ourselves, embracing this package, and then going forth and making a difference for our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, talk about attitudes right here, aren't we? Not a whole lot of method here at this point, but we're talking about attitudes. Attitudes that have to live within me. Well, what great privilege has been given to us that we can partake of the kingdom of God. Have you been down on your knees lately to say thank you for that? I'm in the kingdom of God. Great privilege brings great responsibility. We know that great statement. We must be citizens and soldiers of God's spreading kingdom. That's who we are. Busy about the kingdom. Your role and what you possess in the kingdom must redefine what you are and what you do. And I would like to encourage you to think about it, pray about it, ask yourself, who am I? Maybe you can give a lot of answers to who I am, but I would encourage you to start to rebuild yourself in your thinking, to say, I'm a subject of the kingdom, and Jesus Christ is my King, and this is who I am. And this is how I will live my life. You can start that today. Live your life in purity. As we're singing, sing out with a strong voice. As we are dismissed, encourage one another. Don't walk out without encouraging someone. Follow the definition of who you're supposed to be. You follow Jesus, make an impact. Make a difference in people's lives. And make more impact tonight and more impact next week. This is the way it works. That's who we are. So where are you today? Maybe you're ready to come to Jesus Christ. There's a baptistry back here somewhere, probably behind the screen, I am imagining. Close anyway. There's water. You can be baptized. You know, why would you waste your time in the kingdom of Satan, which is destructive, hurtful, takes away your joy, and then will condemn you away from God forever? Why would you want to follow that? It's time to give it up. Why not just humble yourself and say yes to your God, come to your Lord, and be baptized in Jesus Christ? All things are ready. Why not enter the kingdom of Christ today by taking your faith and driving forward and being baptized into Him? If you need to obey the Lord, use this opportunity as together we stand and as we sing.